Many young people are killed in gang violence, while others are destroyed by doing drugs with fellow gang members. And yet more and more kids are joining gangs. Why? Stay tuned. This is the Back to God Hour, a program that looks at life in light of the Bible, exploring God's answers to our questions. Our topic for today is joining a gang. And now here's our host, David Fettes.
Victor was 13 years old when he joined a gang. Why did he join? Because, he says, I thought I'd be accepted better, and they seemed like family. Soon, Victor was taking part in drive-by shootings. My friends would call me their little gangster, he says. With the gun, I felt like I couldn't be stopped. One day, when Victor was 15, members of a rival gang broke all the windows on his car. Victor tracked down several of the supposed culprits and started talking trash with one of them. And then I pulled out the gun, says Victor, and he said, "You ain't going to shoot me." And I just started shooting because he didn't think I would. It would have looked stupid if I pulled the gun and then didn't shoot him. I would have looked dumb. An exploding number of teenagers like Victor are joining gangs. Gangs are getting bigger and more powerful in major cities, and they're sprouting and spreading in suburbs and smaller towns as well. Why is this? What makes gang life so attractive to so many young people? Why are so many of them joining gangs? To answer these questions, we need some insight into the gang mentality, and there's no better place to get that insight than the Bible. The Bible, you might think? What can the Bible tell us about gangs? How can a book written so long ago have anything to say about a modern issue like gangs? Well, believe it or not, gangs are nothing new. Already 3,000 years ago, parents were warning their children about gangs. The basic issues today are much the same as they were back when the Bible was being written. Some things are different, of course. Today's gangs are funded by drug money and armed with a deadly arsenal of high-tech weapons, and that raises the stakes. But the basic issues remain much the same as they were almost 3,000 years ago when God inspired the writing of the Bible book of Proverbs. In the very first chapter of Proverbs, we hear a concerned parent telling a son what to do if he's asked to join a gang. "My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, 'Come along with us,' let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us, and we will share a common purse. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it." Here the Bible shows three things the gang offers to the young man: power, money, and friendship. These three things appeal to genuine desires that every person feels. Power appeals to our desire to be significant. Money appeals to our desire to be successful. And friendship appeals to our desire to belong. Let's look at each of these. First, the attraction of power. Everybody wants to be significant. Nobody wants to be a nobody. So if you're feeling small and insignificant, it's tempting to be offered power, sheer, raw power. It's tempting when somebody puts a gun in your hand and invites you to take part in a drive-by shooting. When someone says, "Come along with us, Let's lie in wait for someone's blood, as Proverbs 1 verse 11 puts it. That's not an easy offer to refuse if you're starving for significance. What could possibly make you feel more important than literally having someone else's life wrapped around your trigger finger? Victor, the young man I mentioned earlier, said, "With the gun, I felt like I couldn't be stopped." Another gang member, Clarence, told a reporter, "The gun made me feel macho, like nobody could touch me, like no one's going to mess with me." Michael is another gangbanger whose gun made him feel important. A number of years ago, Michael fired 6 bullets into the back of a 17-year-old girl who happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Even after he was arrested and convicted of murder, Michael felt no remorse. He figured that the killing transformed him from a nobody into a somebody. "I done did something, and I'm known," he boasted with a smile. "I consider myself public enemy number one." A kid may become a gangbanger simply because he would rather be a bad somebody than a good nobody. Everybody wants to be significant, to be able to say, "I done did something." And a gun offers a quick shortcut from feeling totally insignificant to the godlike power of life and death. A second reason for joining a gang is money. Everybody wants to succeed in life, and success is often measured in terms of money. Many young people, especially those in poverty-stricken communities, see little opportunity to succeed financially, and gangs offer them a way to make a lot of money in a hurry. As the gang says in Proverbs 1 verse 13, "We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder." You can make more money stealing cars than parking them. You can make more money selling drugs for a few weeks than flipping burgers for a year. When you've got nothing and you see other people driving their own cars and flashing a thick wad of bills, and you've got the opportunity to join them, it's hard to say no. Clarence started dealing dope and carrying guns at age 15. He says, "I wanted to get paid. I thought money was the world. I'd spend it on my girlfriend, or I'd take all my homeboys out. If you made money that day, you'd pay. And that made me feel like I was the big daddy, the big man with the master plan." Joining a gang can mean instant money. You're no longer a failure. You're a success. You're the big daddy, the man with the master plan. Power appeals to our desire to be significant. Money appeals to our desire to be successful. But the third reason for joining a gang is perhaps the most appealing of all: the chance to belong. In Proverbs 1 verse 14, the gang says, "Throw in your lot with us, and we will share a common purse." When they say that, they aren't just talking about sharing money, although that's part of it. They're saying, "In our group, it's all for one and one for all. If you need a place to belong, if you need friends and companions who will look out for you and stick with you, then we've got what you're looking for. Throw in your lot with us." According to Victor, that was his main reason for becoming a homeboy. He did it, he says, "because I thought I'd be accepted better, and they seemed like family." The gang is the only family some people have. When your home life is non-existent, why not join a gang? At least then you feel accepted somewhere. Now, not all gang members come from broken families. Some have homes and loving parents, but they join gangs anyway. Why? Because they're more eager to be accepted by their peers than by their parents. Michael said, "The gang is your family. The more my parents told me to stay away from gangs, the more I wanted to hang out with them." Gangs offer a lot. To kids seeking significance, the gang offers power over life and death. To those seeking success, the gang offers money. To those who need to belong, the gang offers friendship and acceptance. But no matter how strong its attraction may seem, joining a gang is self-destructive in the end. Proverbs 1 describes the consequences this way. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. The gang lifestyle is really a death style. All too often it ends in a hail of bullets or an overdose, with the final destination being hell. Joining a gang may seem appealing, but the final result is deadly. God's word gives an urgent warning against running with a bad crowd and calls us to live for the Lord instead. Let's listen to a song about that, and then I'll be back. Here's Michelle Wagner.
Blessed is he who will follow the Lord. He will not stand in the path of the sinner. He will not sit in the seat of the scoffer. For the law of the Lord is his delight. In its law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by water.
David Fettes here again, and we've been talking about joining a gang. So far, we've seen that gangs are attractive because they offer power to people starved for significance, money to people eager for success, and friendship to people desperate for acceptance. But despite these attractions, joining a gang is deadly in the end. But what if you're not foolish or desperate enough actually to join a gang? Does that mean nothing I've been saying applies to you? No, the gang mentality infects almost all of us in one way or another. It infects us whenever we enjoy a feeling of violent power or chase success through money or look for acceptance and friendship in all the wrong places. Millions of people who never join a street gang or get involved in organized crime are still fascinated with gangster movies. We find it exciting to watch the bad guys in action. Most of us want the good guys to win in the end, but even then, we want the good guys to win through violence. Why is that? Well, at the movies, you don't just watch an actor. You identify with a character. You become a Lethal Weapon, a Terminator, a James Bond with a license to kill. You become the violent, death-dealing hero. You have the power of life and death over others. For a few hours at least, you're no longer ordinary and powerless. You're extraordinary and deadly. Violent computer games give you that same feeling as you blast one person after another to bloody bits. At that point, you're closer to the gang mentality than you might want to admit. You have the same love of power and violence that causes drive-by shootings, though you perhaps don't actually carry it out in real life. A second reason we highlighted for joining a gang is to make some quick money and take a shortcut to success. That's not just something that happens in gangs on the mean streets. It happens on assembly lines and in boardrooms and securities exchanges and advertising agencies every day. You may feel uneasy when someone at work asks you to do something shady, but you figure that if you want to get ahead, you'd better do it. Your conscience may whisper a protest, but meanwhile, the people around you seem to be shouting, like the gang in Proverbs 1, "We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder if you do what we say." Capitalism without a conscience, doing whatever it takes to make money and be successful, has much in common with the gang mentality. And then there's the third and most powerful force in the gang mentality, a force which affects countless people who never join a street gang: the need to belong, to be part of a group. We all have a desire to be accepted, to be affirmed by friends. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and you're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see your troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Maybe you recognize those words from Cheers, the TV show set in a bar that now plays over and over in reruns. Why do so many people hang around bars? For much the same reason that others join street gangs. They're lonely, and they want to be accepted. You may be so desperate for acceptance that you'll take it wherever you can get it, even from gangs or from drinking buddies. If you crave acceptance no matter what, and seek friendship with whoever will have you, you're not so far from gang thinking. It's hard to be different from the crowd, and sometimes it's downright dangerous. Alexander Solzhenitsyn gives a striking example of this in the Gulag Archipelago, his powerful example of Soviet life under Stalin. He tells about a Communist Party conference in Moscow province. At the conclusion of the conference, a tribute to Comrade Stalin was called for. Of course, everyone stood up. The small hall echoed with stormy applause, rising to an ovation. For 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, the stormy applause rising to an ovation continued. But palms were getting sore, and raised arms were already aching. It was becoming insufferably silly even to those who really adored Stalin. However, continues Solzhenitsyn, who would dare to be the first to stop? NKVD men were standing in the hall applauding and watching to see who quit first. So the applause went on. 6, 7, 8 minutes. They were done for. Their goose was cooked. They couldn't stop now till they collapsed with heart attacks. The director of the local paper factory, an independent and strong-minded man, stood with the presidium. Aware of all the falsity and all the impossibility of the situation, he still kept on applauding. 9 minutes. 10. Insanity. Finally, after 11 minutes, the director of the paper factory assumed a businesslike expression and sat down in his seat. And oh, a miracle took place! Where had the universal, uninhibited, indescribable enthusiasm gone? To a man, everyone else stopped dead and sat down. They had been saved. That, however, was how they discovered who the independent people were, says Solzhenitsyn. And that was how they went about eliminating them. That same night, The factory director was arrested. They easily pasted 10 years in prison on him on the pretext of something quite different. But after he had signed the final document of the interrogation, his interrogator reminded him, "Don't ever be the first to stop applauding." Isn't that crazy? It would be funny if it weren't so tragic. People do all sorts of crazy things, things they don't really believe in, just because they want to fit in and make the right impression on others, and they're terrified of the consequences if they dare to be different. Remember Victor, whom I mentioned at the start of the program? He's the one who said, "It would have looked stupid if I pulled the gun and then didn't shoot him. I would have looked dumb." Victor was more afraid of looking stupid than of being stupid. He was obsessed with what others might think. That was the only thing that mattered to him. Without faith in God, without having your needs met by Him, you have no reason not to go along with the mob. You assume there's really no good way to meet your needs. The bad way seems to be the only one available. You find yourself believing that goodness always loses and evil always wins. In a dog-eat-dog world, it seems like you've got just two choices. You can either bite or get bitten. So why not run with the pack? When the only golden rule you know is that the one who has the gold makes the rules, why follow the rules? Why not just steal the gold and make your own rules? If you don't really have a home, why not become a homeboy? Why stay away from the gangs if there doesn't seem to be a better alternative? Fear, despair, and loneliness are a big part of the gang mentality. And we as a society must work to fight the conditions of poverty and injustice and drugs and broken families that produce these terrible feelings. But even that is not enough. You see, the problem is ultimately not just social, but spiritual. We'll never deal effectively with the gang mentality until we realize that the desires and needs it appeals to are very real. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be significant, or wanting to be successful, or wanting to be accepted and loved. Where we go wrong is in trying to meet those needs apart from God. And that's a spiritual problem. It is simply a fact of human nature that we will cave into peer pressure. We'll never be strong enough to resist the gang mentality unless we have some other way to meet our deepest needs. And God's way is the only way to do that. Just before Proverbs 1 starts talking about gangs, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." When you fear the Lord, you take Him more seriously than anything else. Suddenly, the gang mentality isn't so appealing. You find that God is meeting all your needs, including your needs for significance, success, and acceptance. With God, you find that to have significance, you don't need a gun or power to harm others. God makes it possible really to be somebody, no matter what your neighborhood is like, no matter how bad your circumstances may be. The Bible teaches that every boy and girl, every man and woman has been created by God to reflect His image. God made you special. And the Bible says that when you put your faith in Jesus, you become a child of the King, and that makes you a prince or princess. You become royalty, and you will reign with Him forever and ever. In fact, the Bible says that God's people will judge the world and even judge angels. If that doesn't make you feel significant, nothing will. With God, you find in addition that success isn't just about money. With Jesus, you learn to focus on the treasure in heaven, which the Lord Jesus promises to give those who follow Him. You become rich in love and good deeds, not in mere dollars. You want to become everything God wants you to be, not just what other people say you should be. And you look forward to the rewards that God has promised those who love Him. That's the only success that really counts, and it lasts forever. With God, you also find that if acceptance is what you're looking for, you can do a lot better than merely fitting in with gang members or drinking buddies. You can be accepted by Jesus Christ himself. You can be his friend. By faith, you can know that he loves you and cares about you. He loved you enough to die for you. And he wants you to know that he is alive right now, calling you to become his friend. You don't know what it's like to be truly accepted until you know that Jesus accepts you. Once that happens, Jesus can even turn peer pressure to your advantage. It doesn't have to be a matter of you and Jesus against the whole world. The Lord knows you need other people to accept and support you and hold you accountable. So he's provided a place to find friends who really want what's best for you. A place where people will encourage you to soar in the skies like an eagle rather than scurry in the sewer like a rat. It's a place where instead of the negative peer pressure to follow Satan, you feel positive peer pressure to follow Jesus. It's a place called the church. Joining a gang is a rotten idea, if it's the wrong kind of gang. But joining a gang is a great idea if it's the right gang, the gang of those who are following Jesus together. Father, thank you for providing life through Jesus. Forgive us when we try to meet our needs without you. Help each of us, by your Holy Spirit, to turn from sin and despair and to find salvation and hope in Christ Jesus. Help us as individuals and as communities to break the deadly cycle of poverty and drugs and despair. Give special strength and courage right now to young people who are pressured to join gangs. Help those who are already involved in gangs to find a way out. And, dear Father, help each one of us, whatever our situation, not to conform to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to the Back to God Hour with David Fettes. If you'd like your own printed copy of today's message, you may have one free of charge. Just write us and ask for the message called Joining a Gang. Our address is the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois 60655. The name of the message again is Joining a Gang, and the address is the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois 60655. And when you write, please include the call letters of this station. Also, a cassette tape of today's program is available for $4. Do you make some time each day for some special moments with God? Now, that's a healthy habit we all need. Personal and family devotions are vital to a close relationship with Jesus. Well, we'd like you to know about our daily devotional booklet called Today. It contains a Bible reading, a meditation, and a brief prayer for each day of the week. A great many families and individuals are finding that Today is very helpful in their daily devotions and spiritual growth. And we'd be glad to send you a copy of Today free of charge if you write us at the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois 60655. And if you don't already belong to a church's fellowship, we encourage you to find a church that exalts Jesus Christ and teaches the truth of the Bible. If you'd like to find such a church in your community, please write us and we'll be glad to help you find one. We would welcome your letter. If you'd like to know more about how to become a Christian, or if you've been going through a struggle lately and you're looking for help, feel free to write us with your spiritual concerns and questions, and our staff will respond to your letter. Again, if you'd like a copy of the program you've just heard, Joining a Gang, or if you'd like a free copy of our devotional booklet, please get in touch with us. This is the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois 60655.